Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelorette. The Bachelorette.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we just watched the episode before Hometowns.
Yes, the Bahamas episode.
Bahamas episode. Finally got some international dates.
Finally.
Oh, shit's really getting real. Whenever it's the date before Hometowns, that's like usually the toughest date. Not usually. It is the toughest date because it's either you're bringing her home or you're going home by yourself. Sucks. But yeah, good episode. Saw a lot of new sides to guys. It was the most revealing episode, I feel like, in terms of like learning about everybody. Okay, what were your initial thoughts, Justine?
So my initial thoughts are Will's for Bachelor.
Will's ain't gonna be the Bachelor.
I know, but I'm just, you know, hoping. I'm just putting it out there once again.
Will's okay, let me interrupt you though, because Will's, yes. I'm mad at Will's. Will's killed his own chances to be the Bachelor. Wow. His monotone, his hella, just too chill energy. Mm-hmm. He can't carry a season.
Yeah.
And he's not a fan favorite. And I think it's because of that. And that's not anything against it. That's just who he is. So, like, you can't. But who he is killed his chances of being the Bachelor. Like,
Jesus.
Sorry. I wanted so much more, but it just... I wanted it for him, but he ain't gonna be the Bachelor. Sorry.
Especially with his loud outfits. I expect more to come from him.
Yeah.
His personality.
That's so interesting. He, like, lives out through... Like, his personality shines the brightest in his clothes.
Yeah, right.
That's really cool. Yeah, it would have been cool to have, like, this kind of eclectic dressing Bachelor.
Yes! Like a quirky, truly a quirky guy.
Yes, yeah. I don't think we've had that really yet as a Bachelor. But yeah, it ain't gonna happen, girl. Sorry.
No, it's not. also, not loving these Bachelor editors and these double entendres. I was cringing the whole time.
Colton's entire date.
Colton's whole date, you guys, I couldn't even take it. And I am in love with Blake. And
oh my god.
So she needs to just let him go because he's mine.
Plot twist. I thought they were gonna say she should choose him. What the hell?
And those are my initial thoughts. What about you?
Yeah. Okay, so Colton is my baby daddy, as everybody knows.
Which,
that concept within itself is just weird. Like, are we having children? I don't know, but they will come from somewhere. He's my baby daddy, but Blake is the one I want to marry. Colton is beautiful and all that jazz, but, like, Blake just has so many qualities and said so many crucial, key things on this episode that I'm like, you are the type of man that I want.
Yeah. As a partner.
As a partner, yes. Yeah. He very, I mean, we'll get to his date, but just, he exhibits a sense of maturity and, like, real sincerity that trumps all of the guys on the show, I think.
Yes, everyone I agree. That's left. Since night one, to
Since
me.
Since the very, very beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he really just sealed it for me. And then, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on Garrett and Garrett's love story with Becca. We'll get into it. I won't share it, but... Yeah, it's just the whole thing's irking me. Becca's kind of irking me. I just have a lot to say.
Too.
Yeah. On that whole whatever the hell that is between them. So that's that. Before we get into the recap, we do have some announcements. First up, we announced last week we have a contest going on, guys.
Yay!
We're going to see a lot of people entering. Very exciting. So we are doing a contest where we'll choose one lucky reviewer, so someone who reviews us on iTunes, to call into the podcast. You get to kiki with us a little bit, and you'll share with everyone your Becca UII moment, your Get Me to Wakanda moment, your Nigga You Ain't Shit award. And so basically how this works, between now and Thursday, July 19th, we want you to run over to iTunes, rate us, and write us a review. We say it every week. Now... actually do it. write us a review, and on Thursday the 19th we will choose one reviewer at random, announce their name, their username on our Twitter and our Facebook, so please go follow us on that if you aren't already, and we'll have that person contact us, and then you'll be able to come onto our July 23rd show and spend some time with us and share with everyone your moments for the week.
And that should be her hometown, right?
I think so, because hometowns is next week already, so the week after, I think is when she brings them home.
Yeah.
So that's a juicy one,
episode.
I'm really curious to hear other people's thoughts. So that's that, so rate, review, subscribe, enter the contest. Also, we encourage you to please follow us on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday. It's a good time. It's a good time on our Twitter line, I think.
It is. It's a fun little party.
It's a fun little party. I love it, yeah. So go and follow us. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 Rose.
And email us too.
Yes.
We got a lot of great emails this week. I'm excited to read them on
so
air.
Good.
But every week we shout out our lovely friends who email us, and we love reading them. Like, adore reading them, you guys. They're so
truly
great.
They make my entire day.
Yeah, the whole day.
Yeah.
So email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose at gmail.com.
Yes, sir. And find
us
on
Facebook.
Oh, and
there were some questions about the contest. If you already left a review, you don't need to resubmit it.
No, we're going to be choosing from all of the reviews.
Yeah.
So even if you wrote it like months ago, like you're still going to be put in the pool. So. Hope that clears that up.
Yep.
All right, so that's that. We do have some church announcements. That's just being said. We got a lot of really good emails this week. I'm so excited to talk about the emails.
Yeah.
I'll turn it over to you, Justine.
So we got some emails. Shout out to Christy, Maria, Rebecca, Marielle, and Nicole for just emailing us with some love, which we always appreciate, and also a little like PS, here's my opinion, which we love too. We love hearing that, especially from people who are not, we love our New Yorkers, obviously, but people who are from all around the world, it's really interesting to hear their perspective.
Yes, and explaining things to us, because we talk very ignorantly about different states and different countries and make a lot of generalizations. We know.
Yep.
So I love when you guys email us to be like, well, let me explain where I'm from, or let me explain this. I really enjoy that. So thanks, guys.
Yes. And speaking of that, shout out to Lindsay, who emailed us particularly about Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York. Yep. Which I did not know any of this, but
this is where Jason is from, FYI.
Yeah, this is where Jason is from. We were really questioning Jason's fashion choices on the show. I was questioning it this week. He was wearing long sleeves every day. Bro, you're in the Bahamas. What are you doing? But after reading this email, we know why. Because it's so frickin' cold there, they don't really pay attention to what they're wearing because they're just wearing Canada Goose 8 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't care. So,
yeah. And not to say people don't care, but if you're covering up every outfit in a big ass winter coat for 8 months out the year, you probably care a little bit less about fashion. It makes sense. It makes so much sense. Yeah.
Or maybe you do care about fashion, but you're not as invested in it in your own personal life.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you might be watching fashion shows and stuff, but you might not be, like, you know, strutting down the snow slopes.
Snow slopes. Yep, that's true.
So thank you, Lindsay, for that clarification. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Rachel, who sent us a really in-depth email, complete with a GIF.
Oh my god, this is so funny. This email was cracking up.
It was so funny. It was just a really long, fantastic rant about this season, and we absolutely loved it. So thank you, Rachel.
And I also love from Rachel's email how she also learned to distrust people with thin lips. I told y'all once and I'll say it again. I don't trust nobody with no lips. And I'm glad that Rachel is now on the... She's been caught up to speed. And you gotta look a little twice if people ain't got no damn lips. Just putting that out there. I like that she mentioned that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you guys are crazy. But I don't trust poets, so it is what it is. Shout out to Brianna, who is from Maryland, had some perspective on Richmond, Virginia. Also had some perspective on why they were in Richmond, Virginia. That they either used too much of the budget on RA season, mm-hmm. or if some of these dudes came without a passport. Both viable.
Oh my god.
Hypotheses.
Yeah, Brianna. RA season was very flashy. They were on international mm-hmm. dates from like week three. I don't even know. They were overseas the whole time.
So yeah, like, right after. Yeah. Right after, what's it called? Florida. They were in Italy.
Yeah, Italy, France. Mm-hmm. They were all over the place. So yeah, I think Becca's season got screwed.
Oh my gosh. And then shout out to Valerie, who is she gave us some perspective on the 6 month rule that people give cancer patients or anyone with a terminal disease.
That was very interesting. Yeah. Because she's a hospice nurse.
Hospice nurse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's saying like the doctors will, like, if they tell you you have 6 months or less to live, then you qualify for, like, hospice benefits. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why they do that for people, so they can get the benefits. But then people be living 10, 15 years on some hospice benefits. Like, how is that? Like, I still got questions.
Well, people be living through hospice, too. People go to hospice, and then they come back out, and they're like, oh,
yeah.
JK.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, guys.
Oh, my gosh. But yes.
Sorry. Yeah, so shout out to Valerie. That was really, really insightful. Mm-hmm. And we just love hearing about you guys' like jobs and stuff in your everyday life.
Yeah. Time for Bachelor Nation news.
Yep.
And our email is shout out to Caitlin, who was the first to send us this piece of news that everyone's been talking about this week, about the Virginia Tourist Board paying the Bachelor franchise $536,000 to host that godforsaken episode in Richmond, Virginia last week. And everybody called it. You could see right through it.
Yeah.
That this was
yeah.
clearly promotion. I mean, the whole show is promotion. All the hotels and stuff they stay at and everything.
Right.
But the whole promotion for Virginia, but it was just so forced. So they paid the ABC $536,000. In exchange, the show would have to, quote, give a verbal mention of the tagline, Virginia is for lovers, which is why we heard it 8,000 times on the episode, and they were literally feeding that line to everybody in their interviews. And then they also had to, like, do a promotional link on their Twitter and their website and all kinds of other shit. So, yeah. We called it. We saw it. Everybody saw right through it.
Yep.
And they need to go get their money back, because that shit did not make me want to go to Virginia. Not one bit.
They said they benefited from it, so maybe there are some other people who are excited about Virginia.
I mean, I guess.
Some couples. I don't know. It seems like a really good, cheap honeymoon option. Like, if you really count them coins and you live in Maine,
yeah,
Virginia would probably be a great honeymoon option for you.
I can see it. It wouldn't be first in my head though. Like,
as first dates?
No, it's like first. If I'm looking for a cheap honeymoon, like, Virginia's still not it. Like, I would go to, like, down the shore first, or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Somewhere. Yeah, they didn't sell it to me.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Campaign didn't work. Didn't work on me.
Sorry.
But appreciate you, Virginia Tours Board. All right, so should we dig into this recap?
Let's dive in.
It's a nice, juicy episode. Mm-hmm. So, we got 6 guys left. Should I name them? Shit. Okay, we have Blake, Colton, Jason, Wills, Leo, and Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
6 guys left. And we're in the beautiful Bahamas, which the water looks beautiful.
It does.
Like, crystal clear. This is my kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Becca loved her first outfit, let me just say. She had on it was like a black crop tank with a striped skirt that had like the buttons going down the middle.
Oh, she loves the buttons going down the middle.
She does love a button down the middle.
Yeah.
And the shoes, she had on some like lavender strappy shoes. I loved shoes. Yes. I need to do more of that. Like shoes that like a pop of color, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that outfit was cute. Anyway, she's sitting down with tired ass Chris Harrison. And she's saying how she's, you know, she's looking forward to having no drama this week, and she admits she's falling for a couple of the guys,
mm-hmm.
and she bets that the whole thing, like, all of this will end with a proposal. And, you know, she's feeling nervous because she feels like something might ruin it.
She kind of ended that on,
like, yeah, she ended on, like, a very ominous note, like, I don't trust you, Bachelor producers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm on the quest and on the journey for, you know, a nice, easy breezy love, but y'all love to come with the bullshit, so, you know, I'm still having my guard up because I feel like y'all gonna ruin it, is basically what she was saying. So meanwhile, the guys are all, you know, sitting there very nervous. It's very serious. It's like very serious with the guys now.
Yeah, they used to be all friends, and I feel like now they're not.
Now it's competition. Like, yeah. It's just straight competition. Next week is hometown, so they already know this is not the time to play around.
Mm-hmm.
Wills, your boy Wills, had on
probably
one of the best outfits.
Listen, the best outfit of the night, okay? Yeah. He had on, not only was it a matching 2-piece set, not only was it shorts and short-sleeved, but it was an ombre leopard print!
Ombre?
Yes, it faded down into the shorts. It was absolutely beautiful. Oh my God.
It was a good outfit. I liked it.
I am so obsessed with him. I just love him.
I could do this. He loves a matching set. Will is always here for a matching set. Did not like the floral set, but this leopard, I can get on board with this.
And you know, he always has on a high athletic sock.
Does he? He had on a high sock with this?
Always. Oh, always a nice black Nike sock.
Okay. Justine's like beside herself.
I love him.
Okay, so Will's is sitting there looking cool. Blake is
not
really going through it, guys. He really wants this one-on-one. He hasn't had a one-on-one in decades, it feels like. He's been on just straight group dates for a very long time. And so he's just talking how excited he is. He really wants this one-on-one. He thinks it's coming. Becca arrives. She announced that they're going to have 3 one-on-one dates this week and 1 group date with the other 3 guys. First one-on-one date goes to Colton. And at this point, my TV conked out. So, Justine, what happened?
Oh, okay. So, at this point, the guys were like, wait, Colton? Because now they all know he's a virgin.
Which, why did they... I wanted to see the moment when he told them.
Oh, that's like...
We gotta watch him, like, come out every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the producers, and the moment he told Chris Harrison, and the moment he told... I want to see all the moments.
But all of them have their own hypotheses about how it's just not going to work out because he's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
They're all saying these... They're all kind of, like, introing it with something else. Like, they're like, oh, he's really immature. he hasn't had a lot of relationship experience.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, my TV came back when Wills and Garrett were talking. And Garrett, he was like, yeah, I suspect, like, it might turn Becca off.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he got my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
Oh, nice.
Right here. Like, literally, my TV came back on. I was like, he gets the award. Like, nigga, right there. Because, like, Colton's virginity pales in comparison to Garrett, your entire belief system. If anything's going to turn her off, is that. Yeah. So, just shut up. Like, that's it. Like, moving on.
Yep. Fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here.
He's the worst.
So, Colton's on his day. He's looking like a bronze god, as she said. His tan skin, his blonde hair. But you know, I don't really go for blondes, but I... Is he a blonde?
I mean, Colton definitely is, but it's
blonde.
Fine.
Yeah, you're right. It's not, like, very bright blonde. That is when I think blonde. That's not usually what I'm into.
Like Spencer and Heidi. That's what I always think.
Yeah, like, that's blondes. Like, that is a no. Mm-hmm. Colton's like a dirty blonde, I guess. Like a sandy blonde, although. So anyways, they, for their date, are literally going on my dream date, which is on a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Just cruising around the Bahamas. And in their bathing suits, just making out all day. Like, it's literally my dream, not even, like, my dream scenario in life, to be on a yacht with Colton, making out.
Yeah.
You know.
Like the Titanic.
Exactly. Yeah. So Colton just keeps on talking how anxious he is about telling her that he's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point they're like laying down and they're chatting a bit, and it seems like he's starting to go into a conversation. He starts saying like he's not that, you know, I'm not that experienced with dating. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly this yellow boat appears.
Mm-hmm.
And cuts him off, and this blonde, dreaded Bahamian man, like, jumps out the boat, and is like, we're going cock diving, let's go! Like,
he was so freaking random.
So random, came like a tornado, like a bat out of hell.
Yes.
Appeared out of nowhere, cut off their whole thing, and was like, alright, so, got activity, going cock diving. He was definitely a character, this dude. So they go cock diving, they're diving in, and... Big old. I never knew that. I don't know. You just see conks when you go on vacation. Like, you buy a conk and it's like Bahamas is like written on it. But people actually have to dive and get that shit.
Like, right. Yeah. And like little bracelets and stuff. And you just think it's whatever.
Yeah.
But you gotta go all the way down deep.
Yeah. People actually go and like hunt and dive those things.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a little bit of that. Yeah, this portion of the date was just filled with double entendres, and they're really playing up the sex virgin, the whole irony of it with Colton.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian dude was saying how the pistol, which I don't know what part of the animal that is, he basically pulled like a worm out the the conch, and he said like it's an aphrodisiac, and so they're.
I mean, is it?
Eating the... I know. Who? According to...
Is it Action?
Is it Action?
It was apparently your name. Action.
Action was his name?
It was his name. Oh, that's how he introduced himself.
Oh, God. I missed that.
Oh.
Action come with all kind of bullshit. Making them eat straight foolishness. Talking about the aphrodisiac. It's gross. So, time for the night portion of their date. Becca shows up in yet another New Year's dress. Which full sequin dresses, I'm just not a fan of them. They're New Year's dresses. Neither. You only wear them on December 31st.
Yeah, and even then they can go wrong.
And even then, sometimes they don't even look all that good.
Yep.
So this one, I'm not sold on any of the New Year's dresses that she wears. Just not my thing. Anyway, so she shows up and same thing. She's talking about how good Colton looks, how he's easy on the eyes. If Colton didn't look the way he did, he would not be here.
Oh, definitely not. What?
No. Because he's had more skeletons in this closet than anybody ever on the show. And he's a virgin.
Yeah.
There's no... If he did not look... If he looked like David, if this was David, like, like, none of this, he wouldn't be here.
He would have been gone.
So talk about, what do they call it? Pretty privilege. Yeah, this is absolutely some pretty privilege. So she, going into the day, she's confident that Colton will get the rose at the end, unless, she said, unless he drops some, like, crazy bomb on her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Girl, yeah. But it's your armor.
Right. So, they sit down for dinner, and Colton, you know, he says, there's a conversation I need to have, because it could be a roadblock. I feel like he's... He's literally had to say, like, this exact preface, like, multiple times. Like,
yeah. Yep.
With the Tia scenario, like, so many things.
Yes.
So, he has a conversation. He needs to have it. It could be a roadblock. You know, he's always struggled with articulating it. It's like, going in circles. So, then he says he, you know, he's put his professional life above his personal life for some time. You know, football has always been number one to him. He's only had one serious relationship. He hasn't been on that many dates. All because he's, like, been so wrapped up in football. Allegedly.
That sounds so crazy to
That's
me.
That's weird.
I was watching this, and I was like, there are niggas who have, like, multiple girlfriends and a wife and kids and manage to have sex with all of them.
Yes, and a full-fledged NFL career. Like,
yeah, right.
Winning Heisman trophies and shit or whatever. Like, what?
What do you mean you're focused on football? Yeah. You're also retired, so, like, what? Yeah,
right, you're retired now. It was very strange.
Yeah.
Like, the virginity aside, just his lack of... like, dating that he's done is strange. Because you're, like, you're a very good-looking guy. You're in the NFL. There's literally women everywhere. The quality, we don't know about the quality of women, but there's still women everywhere.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's not even really dated that much is just very interesting.
Very. But, also makes me excited for his hometown. Yes. Because I feel like this is going to explain a lot.
A lot. Oh, yeah. We're going to learn a lot about him and why he operates the way he does. So, anyways, he... sports has, like, taken over his life, so he hasn't had much experience in love. And then he says, and because of that, I have to tell you that I am a virgin. And he says that, you know, it's just a hard thing for him. He, you know, only a handful of people know. And, you know, growing up in sports, being in the locker room where guys, you know, they talk about women all the damn time. And he, you know, had to fit in, so he had to make up a lot of lies and kind of play to, you know, being that guy, like the NFL guy who just gets girls. Like, who wants to be the one in the locker room who's like, oh, I'm a virgin. Like, you don't want to be that center of...
Of attention.
Of attention with all the dudes, so... and he tells her, you know, he's waiting for marriage. He's, he's not waiting for marriage. He's more so like waiting for the right one type of thing. So Becca, her initial response is like very awkward. And I didn't know if this was editing, chopping and screwing up the whole editing, or if this was really her reaction. But so yeah, her initial reaction, she's just like, you know, thank you for telling me. And then she, we don't really hear much, and then she, like, excuses herself and, like, walks away.
This is where she gets my nigga you ain't shit award.
Becca gets the nigga who ain't shit this week.
Becca gets it. Because if somebody tells you something like that, do you know how many questions I have for a man who is that good looking? Now, I mean, now you're definitely getting the rose, and we are definitely going to hometowns, because I need to see who raised you and how they did so. Because how did this happen where you are such a like, nice guy, right? You know, he's not afraid to touch her, right? Like, none of that is happening. But he's still waiting for the right one. I have so many questions. And she was like, wait, what? And then walked off.
Yeah. I think Becca, yeah, she ain't shit for that, because even just him having to reveal that is so, I mean, he had so much anxiety the entire day, I'm sure.
Right.
Just trying to figure out how to say this to her. And then her initial reaction is just like, I can't handle this. I'm going to excuse myself.
BRB.
BRB. Like, what? But I think with Becca, she... Colton has dropped a lot of bombs on her.
Yeah.
And I think her image of him in her head just keeps getting chipped away.
Yeah.
And, like, the virgin thing is not... It's not that it puts him in a bad light. It's just another thing that she has to, now just deal with Colton. Like, she wasn't expecting that at all. So, just... He keeps dropping these little nuggets that she just has to, deal with this again. So that's probably why she, excused herself. But, yeah, that was funny. So, Becca eventually comes back from, I guess, getting a breather on the balcony.
I kind of felt for her because I was like, I would be dying for the group chat right now. Any group chat that I'm in.
Right, anybody. Any. I need to send a text to anyone.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but she just has to do it by herself. So she comes back and, the first question she hits him with is, you said you were in love with your last girlfriend.
Right.
Why y'all ain't fucking? What happened there? So, I didn't really understand his answer. He was kind of saying, timing wasn't right or something.
See.
I don't know.
See, that's why you should have sat down more and had some more questions for this man.
Yeah.
Because that didn't make any sense.
Right. He said something about timing. And he's saying that he's not waiting for marriage, but I feel like she really needs to clarify this with him because honestly, he might secretly be waiting for marriage.
And, when was your last girlfriend? Were you, 16? Because then I could understand it. But if you were, 24, I need answers.
I think he was in his 20s. Didn't he share his story about his last girl? I can't remember the story.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. But I don't think it was young. It was somebody, fairly kind of... He dated the gymnast. Allie Raisman.
Oh my god, that's right! Yeah.
So that's one. Yeah. I don't know if that's the one I don't know if that's the girl he said I love you to, or if it was his girlfriend before that. Either way, it was somebody in his 20s. And he said I love you to them, and yet y'all still didn't get physical.
Seal the deal.
I have so many questions on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Becca, she says in her confessional... just in general, she's just a little bit alarmed by all of this, not just the sex thing, but also the fact that he just doesn't have that much relationship experience. He only has the one girlfriend. He said, I love you, blah, 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 blah. Which I don't negate people who haven't had as much relationship experience. I'm not a fan of that argument. Because there are people who've had years of terrible relationship experience and are probably worse off than somebody who's coming in very strong and very sure in themselves and maybe have one little girlfriend. Which are you going to choose? Just because he has 25 years of experience all with shit women? Or all shit
this
relationships?
Is exactly the... it's the battle between Colton and Garrett, right? Garrett's been married before.
Exactly.
And we still are wondering what he learned from said marriage, right? We're still wondering if he knows what existential means. We're still wondering all these things.
Right.
And with Colton, we don't wonder any of that. He's a little bit immature. He gives me a little bit immature vibes.
Yeah, young. Feels young.
Really youthful, but still, that has nothing to do with his relationship experience. That's just how he is. He's, real smiley and, a golden retriever.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think she should put him in another pool. Just keep him right in there. So he gets the date rose. Just no surprise there.
Obviously.
So back at the suite, the guys. Blake is, still. He's just laid up in this confessional, just doing interviews all night with the producers. He needs his friend. Another one needs a friend or someone from his family to come just help him out. And so Blake, he's going through it. Him and Gary mixing up all these white men. Their names, Blake, Garrett, and Colton, these are the whitest names on the planet.
They are.
Just interchangeable. So Blake is talking with Garrett about the whole Colton virginity thing. Garrett says again he thinks Colton's going home based on the virginity, which, whatever.
Garrett, come on.
So all the guys are wondering who's getting the next one-on-one date. And the date card comes, and it's going to Garrett. And he is totally stoked. That's what he said.
Ew, that's what he said?
He was like, totally. He said stoked, though.
Ugh.
Which is, like, such a Garrett term. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you think? Stoked. So, in the cut, Blake is just still dying. Another one-on-one rose, not going to him.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, I just feel for him, because he really hasn't had a one-on-one in a minute. And then, as he's dying in the corner, in walks Colton with a rose.
Yep.
And so, Blake is really going crazy, because he... in his head, I guess, was hoping and banking on Colton going home. He's just starting to second guess everything. He said in his confessional, like, I don't, like, have I been making up everything between us?
Yeah, like, right.
Is this all in my head? Does she actually have feelings for me? Or am I literally making up all of this?
I love how he says that and doesn't blame any of the other guys. I feel like a lot of guys will say that and they'll be like, well, Colton's a virgin, man. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean he got a rose instead of me? Like, da da da.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say that. He's like, oh, wow, she must really have connections with these other people.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, blaming them or, like, pointing out their flaws or anything ugly like that. Right. He don't play dirty. No. That's what I like about Blake. He don't play dirty.
Right, because he's more mature than that. When they start to talk about other people, that's a sign of immaturity. Like, focus on yourself and your connection with Becca. You don't need to be throwing other people under the bus or talk about other people's mess. So he's just in a bad headspace. He's just, like, analyzing everything. And we've all been there. Totally been there. When you, like, you want so badly to get into the other person's head to figure out, like, how they feel about you, but you have no insight into that. So you just pick apart literally every memory that you have of them and try and, like, interpret it and get answers for yourself, but really you're just driving yourself insane.
Right. And you double texted, and it's been an hour, and they haven't texted you back. Mm-hmm. It's, like, that thing.
Yep, all that.
Terrible.
Been there, Blake. Feel you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so time for Garrett's one-on-one date. Becca's talking about how he always makes her smile. They had a very instant connection. She reminds us that he got the first impression rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they meet on the beach. She does the whole run, jump, hug, the run, jump, straddle, hug thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly a seaplane pulls up and they're going to go fly in this plane over, you know, the water.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is the time where they're done with activities. They're doing more the, you have a whole day to just, like, be with each other.
A beach. Okay.
I think we're at that time, I guess. So anyway, so they ride in the plane over the water. All the guys are back home on the balcony. They see the plane. They're all freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
All that jazz. So the plane lands on a private beach. They have the whole beach to themselves. Another, like, dream date for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Becca in her interview is just, you know, she's just gushing about Garrett and how, you know, carefree she feels with him, and the two of them sit on the beach and have a chat, and she's like, you know, you're always so carefree, you're never down and discouraged, you know, I haven't seen that side of you. I don't really know what, I feel like she was trying to search for something wrong with him.
Mm-hmm. She was digging for an issue.
Yeah, because everything seems too good to be true. He says all the good things. He's got, you know, always got the good energy and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
But we can't forget, he married some girl and divorced her in 2 motherfucking months. So
after he was with her for like 3 years.
Thank you.
There's questions.
There's a lot of questions. There's stuff there. And I think Becca is smarter. She knows better. So I feel like she ain't forget that either. So she's wondering, is it, you know, too good to be true? So, back at the suite real quick. Next one-on-one date comes. Who's it gonna go to? Blake finally got his answers, his prayers answer. He was really about to, I don't know what he's gonna do with himself if he didn't get
on. He was about to just go straight home.
He might have pulled something super dramatic and was just like, I can't do it, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully he's not. He got the next one-on-one, which means the group date is going to be Leo, Jason, and Wills, who are all fighting for one rose. Mm-hmm. So two people are going home on that date. So back at Garrett's date, time for the night portion of their date. Loved Becca's look. This might be one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was very cute.
It was good.
She had on a, or her hair was pulled in like a high, tight ponytail, which we haven't seen too much of that this season. And she had on a white jumpsuit, but it was like one strap, like one spaghetti strap, and then the other strap was like that like ruffle sleeve thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you call that. It's like a, whatever. We're like motioning. No one can see this, but you know what I mean, guys? Can you feel my motion? But yeah, like there was a jumpsuit, the rhinestone choker that had to go.
All the jewelry looked like it was from 36th and 5th. Like, straight from the fashion district. Cost max $6 for the set.
Rhinestone about to fall out. Yep. Like a missing rhinestone. This shit looks so cute. But loved the rest of the look.
The look, yeah, it was good.
Yes. So, Becca, same thing, gushing about Garrett and how perfect he is and blah, blah, blah. Becca asks him, you know, who's the last person you brought home? Was it your ex-wife? And he admits yes. And so then Becca, she's just trying to figure out more about this two-month wife woman. Like, what was this? So she said, you know, you mentioned that, you know, she was very adventurous and that was something that you liked about her. You know, what else about her were you attracted to? And Garrett, you know, he didn't really give her, this is not a satisfying answer to me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
He said, you know, well, I was young, you know, we were fresh out of college, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Like blaming his youth, basically, on why, which, I mean, fair enough. A lot of people get married young and it's terrible. But then he didn't really answer her question. He didn't say much about what he was attracted to. He then immediately went back into bashing her and said she was super hot-headed, she was always yelling at me, and I'm like, you didn't answer the question. You're just back to bashing this woman. Like, the original question was, what qualities did she have that you were attracted to?
Right. And then he brought it back to bashing her and then talking about himself. And talking about how he wanted to be, like, a good father, a good family man, a good husband, and all this stuff. She didn't ask you none of that, fool. That's why you on this show.
We didn't ask you not none of this.
Like, duh. You're supposed to propose to somebody after 8 weeks of knowing them. Obviously, you want to be somebody's husband. That's not the question.
That's not the question. That's not telling me anything about you. Because that's... I'm assuming everyone at the show at this point wants that exact thing. To be a good husband. So, what... So yeah, he brought her right back to him, and, you know, he was saying, even despite her being awful and yelling and all this shit, you know, I just kept pushing through it because I really wanted it to work. Like, really, you know, putting himself in the best light. Mm-hmm. But Becca's like, yeah, but that actually scares me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she basically was saying he seems like the type that when he has doubts or any red flags, he will still just push through. He'll, mm-hmm. he'll, like, fight to make things work, even if... he knows deep down it ain't shit. Mm-hmm. So she's like just worried about that. Like, are you really, would you really honor your feelings, or are you just gonna push through with something because it's what you, this image in your head that you want? And Garrett, he just tells her, you know what, he is falling in love with her and everything's all fine with Becca now. Like, he always does this. You notice that? Anytime she has, like, a reservation or things are about to get serious, he just drops another milestone. Like, I'm falling for you. Yeah. Or, no, now I'm actually in love with you. And then, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, and, like, he always comes with something to kind of, like, smooth over the moment. And she forgets that he never answered her fucking question. Like... So he tells her he's falling in love with her. Becca's very happy. Mm-hmm. He obviously gets the date rose. And then they, like, run off in their swimsuits into the ocean. And
have Do you think thing. They did weird stuff in the ocean? I feel like they did weird stuff.
I don't know. I mean, there was, if you want to rewind, Bachelor season whatever with the first Bachelor, Ben, whatever his last name was, the ugly one. He had sex in the ocean.
Yep.
He went skinny dipping and had sex in the ocean.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't know if Becca's that. I don't see Becca doing that. I feel like she's already on, like, not even her choice. Her entire life and her whole ass has been shown on television with them bringing Ross, with the breakup on the couch. Yeah. That she's like, I'm not giving these people any more good television.
Yeah, so, that's true.
I don't know if she went that far.
Yeah, no, just maybe some weird stuff. I don't know.
Some, yeah.
Anyway, some... Becca, you better just get yours, girl.
Get yours.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this Garrett date, before we move on, I have a lot to say.
Oh, okay.
I still have a lot to say. So, watching this, like, love story unfold between Becca and Garrett, it's just hard to watch because as a viewer, we know where they mm-hmm. both stand politically. Mm. Like, we, based on his tweets, one can just assume, and mm-hmm. probably assume right, that he voted for... what's his face? And Becca has been very vocal on her social media with being mm-hmm. very anti what's his face and mm-hmm. pro Hillary and Women's March and all that stuff. So it's just weird watching this, knowing where they stand. And then it's also weird watching the two of them, and doesn't look like either of them know where the other person stands.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope. Yep.
So it's like, what is this? Like, how does... someone enlighten me. How does one fall in love with someone who has completely, like, opposing beliefs?
Right. How does that work? I know I couldn't fall in love with somebody who I know is not a feminist.
No. I barely vibe with Republicans on a friendship level. So I know for damn sure I couldn't be falling in love with nobody who, wasn't, who is, like, a transphobic. Or anti-immigration, right. Or like, and like, I couldn't, and that's just like a singular issue, but that one singular issue means so much to me and my whole value system and belief system that I couldn't even fathom being in love with somebody, like, or like falling in love.
No, it would be very difficult.
Very
or
difficult.
Or impossible.
Yeah. For me personally, political beliefs is like a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Becca and Garrett, I just want to know what... how can you say you're falling in love with someone if you don't really know anything deep about them in terms of, like, their view of the world?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, like, you remind me of my dad, and, you know, you feel like home, and all these, like, things that feel nice and good. Okay, that's cute. But, like, have y'all talked about some real shit of, like, what are your views on this? And how mm-hmm. do you see the world according to this? And just, like, all these little one-on-one dates, like... you know, each time they keep saying, like, I'm falling for you, like, my feelings are getting deeper, blah, 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 blah. But how do you develop those things when you don't really know a person at their core?
And I feel like... Is this a white privilege thing?
It must be, because for me, this shit is just a deal breaker. Like, off rip. The one good thing about online dating, and not all of the apps, but you can, for instance, on OkCupid, you can filter by, like, political belief. It's like conservative, liberal, whatever. So, like, conservatives don't even show up in my timeline because that is just a setting that I just set and it's important to me.
Right.
And then even on my profile, I make it very known. Like, I think my last... I'm, like, very extra, but I think my last OkCupid... Under hobbies, I wrote, like, fighting white supremacy.
Oh, my God.
This is me. This is something I'm very... Social justice is very important to me, and I want someone who's kind of on that same wavelength. Mm-hmm. And so you just need to know that about me off-rip.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Becca doesn't have that luxury, but even the fact that you have even fewer moments to spend with these guys, wouldn't you get to these deep questions quicker? It's just troublesome and bothersome to me that she's at this level... and saying that she's falling in love, but I really am sitting there watching them, and I'm like, I don't think you have any clue about any, like, have y'all talked at all about, like, your value systems and shit? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, what do they talk about?
I don't know, because we watch 2 hours, and they're at dinner for, like, 5 hours, so I don't know.
Right. Either they haven't had these conversations, or they have, and she just doesn't give a shit, and that is white privilege.
Exactly. And both of those things are white privilege.
Right. Because I don't have the privilege I don't have the privilege to not talk about these things.
Right. I have to.
Period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just side-eyeing Garrett. He's already been dead and buried, but
yeah,
Becca, I'm just really starting to side eye because I really want to know, like, have y'all talked about this and you just don't give a shit and you're just like, oh, well, you know, we can agree to disagree or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, probably. Like,
what is that? I have an email call out. Email us, please, if you have experienced dating or your spouse and you have opposing political beliefs. Like, someone teach me how does this work? Because I don't understand. But does it work? How does it work? How do you date someone who really believes something completely different than yours? Or politically is on, like, the complete other side of the aisle? Educate us,
and
please.
Not just political. I don't know. For me, I put social justice kind of in a bracket next to political and not necessarily with political. Because human rights are just... Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be a political thing to me.
Yeah, true.
So, both of those things, like, what do you think, is it just they're Republican because of, like, tax reform, or is it because they really believe all that conservative shit? Email us, let us know.
Let us know, please, enlighten me, because this shit is just getting weirder and weirder to watch. Okay, side note aside, back to the recap. Blake, time for his one-on-one.
Yay!
So, Blake, as we said, he hasn't had a one-on-one in a million years, so he has a lot of... He has to make up for a lot of lost times, hoping that the connection is still there. You know, they've had little cocktail party moments and whatnot, but he hasn't really spent any time with this woman in, like, a month. So he meets Becca at a beach, and they head to a beach party, and there's no double doors. They just on stage turning up. The Baja men.
The Baja men.
Who let the dogs out?
This is my favorite date. This is my favorite date of all season.
Really? It was a good
one.
Yeah.
They were standing there just going in to the Baja Men's new song. Which, are they just in the Bahamas now? Because I haven't heard a peep from them niggas in easily 16 years.
Yeah.
So.
And that one song. But yeah, it was a good day. It looked lit. They're having a whole full-on beach party filled with people. Blake is showing us his moves.
Yeah, he was a good little dancer.
He was. He had some really good little Millie Rock or whatever
he
that
did.
Move is. Whatever
did.
The kids call it.
He did
it. You know these four terms. It was a Millie Rock, right? Is that what that was? That thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think a Millie Rock is this with the arms.
Oh, no, that's the Millie Rock.
Yeah.
What's that move that he did then?
Oh, I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a thing, though.
We need to have behind-the-scenes footage of us.
No, we don't.
have on my bonnet and no bra. Cannot have no no camera in here. But I want them to see us with our weird dance and trying to figure out, what is that dance?
I don't know.
Somebody email us that too. The dance that Blake did, he like showed Becca real quick. What is the name of that? It's not the Millie Rod. What the fuck is that though?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Blake had some moves, and I think he told us, I think he said earlier in the season that he can dance.
Oh, like, yeah, he did!
He did.
He did.
Yeah. Yep. So we got to see his moves. It was cute. And then, you know, after the party, him and Becca sit down and, you know, chit-chat and stuff. He lets her know that he has, you know, really been freaking out all week and was really freaking out. He wasn't sure if he was going to get a one-on-one date, and that was not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And Becca goes into this whole thing about how it's been really hard and how she now sympathizes with Ari, which I really did not want her to say that.
No.
Just don't even say Ari. Just say, like, I see how it's very hard now. Like, don't sympathize mm-hmm. with Ari. Don't say that.
No. Sympathize with, like, Rachel. Like,
right.
Don't sympathize with Ari.
Right. I sympathize with Rachel. But anyway, she said she sympathized with Ari about how it's, you know, it's very hard to have feelings for multiple people. Blake, in the headspace that he's in right now, this is the last thing that he needed to hear.
Oh my god, he was bugging. Oh my god.
Like, that was not what he needed to hear about her having strong connections with anybody else.
You could see in his head was like that math gif of...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone looking at the math, like, what do you mean, feelings for other people? What are you talking about?
He's calculating in his head, like, what? So, he says in his confessional that he needs confirmation that he's the strongest connection.
Mm.
Because he recognizes, and I like that he put it this way, like, he recognizes that she has connections with other people. Like, that you can't deny.
Yeah.
But not knowing where you stand in the lineup, that mm-hmm. will drive you crazy. Like, you want to know that you're her number one.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Because the thought of being number three out of the four that she has feelings for fucking sucks.
And because the next episode depends on your family, who might be raggedy.
Be raggedy and throw your ass under the bus.
Yes!
So you need to go into hometowns being the number one seed. Like, mm-hmm. period. So yeah, he's saying to the confessional he really wants that confirmation that he has the strongest connection with her. She obviously doesn't give him that confirmation. But in her interview, she reveals that she feels, quote, the most strongest for Blake.
Yay!
Which I was like, did I hear right? I had to go confirm on Twitter to figure it out. And everybody was like, oh my god, did she just say that? So she confirms secretly that she does actually have the strongest feelings for Blake. The most strongest, which...
Ugh, terrible Becca, English, girl, but okay. Come on.
What I notice about watching Blake's date in comparison to Garrett's,
mm-hmm.
with Blake, she's very grounded on planet Earth.
Yes!
When she's with Blake. When she's with Garrett, she's like floating on some, like, cloud nine. Like, living this alternate reality with this, like, you know, cute guy with good energy and, like, whatever, like, nonsense. But with Blake, the whole feeling, it's, like, it's more serious, it's more grounded in, like, realness.
Yeah. Yeah, this is real life Becca that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, quickly, back at home with the guys, Leo, Jason, and Wills are going on the group date. Everyone is hoping for Blake to go home. Which, okay. But if he goes home, that'll leave two roses up for grabs on the group date.
Oh, on the group date.
That means less pressure on the group date. Only one person as opposed to two. But that's a tall order to wish for, guys, because Blake has always been one of her favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So, time for the nighttime portion of Blake's date. And, you know, Becca, she's saying that she just wants to know more about his family. He's opened up a bit about past relationships, but she wants to know a bit more about family since he's about to go home. So, Blake, these people got some stories.
Mess.
Oh, gosh. So, Blake said he's always kind of struggled to open up because he comes from a family where they've just always kind of brushed things under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not gotten a lot of experience with speaking his truth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he reminds Becca that his parents got divorced when he was 15. So he was, like, in high school. And turns out it's because his mom was having an affair with his basketball coach / English teacher. That burns.
That is horrible. And I bet this happens all the time.
All the time, of course. This happened in my town.
Yes. No, what?
There, I mean, I heard this through, like, the grapevines. A girl in our grade, her mother, I think, had an affair with some teacher, some coach or something. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Blake, well, going on with Blake, yeah. makes this even harder is he lives in a small town. Mm-hmm. So that gossip trap, like, the fact that I know about my friend of a friend, right. like, small town, like, from where I'm yeah. from, that shit travels fast. And so he said in his small town, everybody was gossiping about it mm-hmm. and how acquaintances were coming up to him and saying shit and how he found out about his mom moving out the house from some random chick. Like,
yeah.
no one in his family was talking about it. And so he kind of grew up in an environment where he just didn't really share much or where right. that wasn't, like, valued in the household.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he said, which really struck me, and I was like, I gotta marry someone like this, is where he said, quote, like, basically from that experience, he, quote, said, I want deep openness, family mm-hmm. first over everything.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Like, for me, family is so important to me just in general, so that mm-hmm. I always live by that. But I like how he said, I want deep openness.
Yeah, like me too.
You're coming from a family where... ain't no openness. No one's talking about the fact right. that mom is, like, shacked up with the fucking
with
English
the
teacher.
Basketball coach.
And no one is talking about this in the household?
Oh, my God.
Girl at Wendy's is telling me shit that she heard? Like, what? So going into his next relationship, he's like, I'm not doing this
yeah.
with my family. I'm not doing this with my kids. I really like how he put that.
And how he said what he learned from it.
Right.
Like, Garrett was like, yeah, I had an ex-wife. She was an angry bitch. She was horrible. And nothing else. That was the end of the sentence.
That was it.
He explained how this happened with his mother. Did not bash his mother, which nope. I really appreciate.
Right. Yep.
And went on to say that in his family, he will not be doing the same. He has learned from his parents' mistakes. Yes. The best. That's all you want from your kids.
Yep. Period. Yeah. Clear, again, shows you a clear difference in the... clear differences between Blake and Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
They both have crazy sob stories and whatnot, but Blake yeah. is able to articulate it better in what he learned. Garrett, we still got all kind of questions about this year, 2 year relationship, so 2 month marriage. So, you know, after that, Becca says, you know, you, out of all the guys in the house, you open up the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always talking about he struggles to open up. He's not good with being vulnerable, but he's actually been the most vulnerable and the most open with her this whole time. And then Blake drops the "I love you." First one to full on say I
love you.
I
Becca.
Love you, Becca. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And then, oh my God, I was just, this whole day, I was just like,
I was dying.
I was dying. This is so cute. We've always been Blake fans. We've
oh, yeah.
always been Blake fans and then Blake and Becca fans. Cause the two of them together
yeah.
just,
yep.
this is what I want to see on, this is what I want from The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that just looks genuine at least. And so Becca, he says, I love you. She obviously can't say it back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could have pulled the Ari and did it, but. She can't say that.
Oh, God.
And she just says, you know, my heart feels so happy. Which is so stupid, but...
Yeah, that was... She said a bunch of lines this time that I was like, girl, what are you talking about?
But she did. So her next line I really liked. And her next line actually got me my Becca UII moment.
Okay.
Where she was saying she never wants her moments with Blake to end. And she said, quote, I feel like my heart recognizes his.
I hated that and laughed.
Really?
But explain to me what you liked about it.
That, to me, it just made me feel like she even recognizes that her connection with Blake is, like, real shit.
Yeah.
And her connection
okay.
with Blake or Garrett is on some fake shit. But she
yeah.
she got my eye up because she's... The fact that she keeps Garrett around just makes me question, like, where her head is at.
Mm-hmm.
But her saying this about Blake, how, like, my heart feels his heart, my heart recognizes his heart,
mm-hmm.
it makes me feel like, okay, she's kind of in here a little bit. Like,
yeah.
she's lost all her
yeah.
marbles. And that she recognizes that, like, he is, like, a real-ass dude. mm-hmm. with good intentions and a good heart, and yeah. is here 100% for the right reasons. And not only here for the right reasons, but he's ready for this next step.
Right.
And yes. is fully True. In. There's no reservations. Like, I look at Blake and trust Blake.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was my little moment. She kind of redeemed herself when she said that for me.
Okay.
And then Becca, you know, she can't tell him I love you back, but she does have mm-hmm. her little confessional interview. And she said, when he told me he loved me, in that moment, I knew I was on the exact same page.
Yeah!
And she said, he doesn't know that yet, and it's so difficult to hold back. And then she keeps saying a whole lot of stuff about Blake. Mm-hmm. She said, after this date with Blake, I can 100% see him as my husband.
Yes!
Woo! Yes. Lordy! Why are we still watching the show? Just send everybody home.
Why? Everybody else needs to go.
Everybody needs to go.
I just need the Beck and Blake wedding special. Let's go.
Period. It flashed across my mind, but I knew it was going to happen, that the group date for the next day, just mm-hmm. cancel that shit.
Leo and everybody go home.
And Wills and Jason. They don't clearly measure up to Blake, so why even have to go on this stupid date?
Yeah.
So we ended the Blake date. Blake is in the number one seat. That's what he mm-hmm. wanted. He didn't exactly get the confirmation from her, unless she whispered something on the low we don't know about. But we at least know that he's number one.
And, I mean, her reaction to him saying, I love you, was pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is Blake's hometown going to be like?
Messy. Oh, my God. Is he going to be like, hey, this is my mom and my stepdad, turn to confessional, like, this is my former English teacher, professor, what's his name? Like, is he going to have to say that? Coach, oh,
no.
whatever?
Oh, no, no.
Like, what does he have siblings? How do the siblings feel about this?
Yeah.
Because I was really interested to see Dean's siblings.
Right.
When Dean had that iconic hometown and they let me down hardcore heavy.
Siblings?
Yeah.
He was looking at his siblings sideways, the same way he's looking at his dad. He did not fuck with his entire family.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Blake. Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
I'm very curious. Are we going to meet the mom? We got the story, but we don't know where he stands with his mother.
Yeah.
Because the last we heard from him in his story about her was that she was moving out. And she moved out with the guy. And right. they're still married to this day.
Right.
But he never went into, you know, and he never bashed her, never said anything bad, but he didn't really say, you know, yeah, we're still really close. We've gotten over things. The family's tight now. So we don't know who we're meeting on hometowns. What is going to happen there? But I can't wait. Love a good juicy hometown.
Yep.
I'm like, I love Blake, but I'm ready for the drama. Ready for the family mess. Okay, so time for this, ridiculous group date that she
this
must
group
now
date
go on.
Is so foolish.
So stupid. She literally just said, I want to marry Blake, and now she has to go do this.
And now she has to, deal with these three goons.
Jeez. So... Wills, Leo, and Jason, they ride off on a boat to go meet Becca on a beach, and she talks about each of the guys and says a little snippet about them, which really shows you the depths of her feelings for these guys, because she didn't really say shit. Mm-mm. Leo, you know, the more time I spend with him, the more I find things I love about him.
What?
I can say that about my bottle of water. Like, that...
I can say that about, a co-worker.
Or, yeah, a co-worker, an acquaintance. Like, that told me nothing. That told me you don't have any feelings for Leo, actually.
None.
Next, Jason. I just have the best time with him. Cool.
That doesn't say... I mean, his one-on-one date was shitty. His unhappy hour, and then,
oh, that shit was stupid.
Going to the church and all that, was, dumb. And then it was with his friends, so I guess fun, I guess. I don't know. But, that doesn't... There's no meaning behind There's no meaning behind we have a great time.
It's a statement that she can say about, anyone, basically.
Yeah.
And then Wills, she said the most about Wills, actually. Like, more specific thing. She said Wills, mm-hmm. he knows who he is and owns it in a very quiet, confident way. And she likes that he's nerdy and goofy like me. So, a little bit more.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, more specifics. That's what I want to mm-hmm. hear. So anyways, they all get on the beach, they're playing beach volleyball, and then she does her little one-on-ones with each of them. So for Wills is the first to get his one-on-one time with her, and he's, you know, really wanting to bring her home to meet his family. His parents will be married 50 years.
Yo.
Next
what?
Week. What? In the, his parents must have gotten married real young.
Yeah.
Married 50 years? Because he's not, Wills is what, in his late
20s? He's like 29, I think.
Wow. So his parents have been together forever.
Mm-hmm.
So Will shares about his parents. He said his dad is very quiet. His mom is more extroverted. Becca can relate because her mom is also, you know, super extroverted, can talk to anybody, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Watching the two of them together, Becca, I just feel like she wasn't into it from that moment.
I know. Yeah. I feel like she was like, okay, we have this in common, but it's just not enough.
It's not enough. Yeah.
No.
You could tell she's already, like, checked out and just kind of going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Jason gets the next one-on-one time. I literally completely tuned out.
Really?
Do you know what happened?
He kept saying all these lines. Jason always says all these lines, which makes me think that he's watched the show before.
Oh no, I like Jason though.
I like Jason too, kind of. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't let what I see in you stop today. It has to continue on. I can't wait to, you know, see what we do. Da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote down, there's something else. Okay, yeah, the next moment that I think solidified his hometown mm-hmm. was a dinner.
Okay.
We'll his next line.
So, Leo, next one, got his little one-on-one time. They go down by the beach, by the water, and have a little chat. So, Leo, he already just rubbed me the wrong way before he even started his one-on-one. He said in his confessional mm-hmm. that, you know, these guys, they can offer a nice house
yeah.
and an easy lifestyle. I can offer her love.
How does that not come with love, you dumb dipshit? What the hell? What's wrong with you? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
What are you actually talking about? They're not offering love?
Also, you're broke?
Also, yeah, where's my house? And where's my easy lifestyle? I want that too. What the fuck?
Why do I have to choose between either? Can't I have both? That's the point of the show.
Yeah. The dumbest line of the episode.
It was so dumb, he couldn't even get my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
No, not even worthy.
It was so stupid.
It was so stupid. I'm just ready for him to go at this point. Oh my god. So, sits down to chat with Becca, you know, lets her know he hasn't brought anybody home in 4 years. And he then says, you know, I feel like some guys have had more time with you, which is true. He just got his one-on-one last week. And has been on a bunch of group dates, like 15 niggas deep, so he hasn't really gotten that much time at all. So I feel like more guys have had more time with you, and some of them are probably ready to get down on one knee. I would need hometowns to get there. Valid statement, I think.
Yeah, that is a valid statement. That's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. And Becca, she's like, all right, well
not somebody get that boat, because my man's got to go.
Time for you to kick rocks, nigga, bye. See you in the bye. Look at him. She's so happy he brought it up first, because she was like, she just jumped right on that bandwagon.
Yep.
So yeah, he literally kicks rocks at that exact moment.
Literally, the boat came to get him. Didn't say goodbye to Wills or Jason or nothing.
Nope, she left him on the beach and she walked back to the guys and explained that Leo just went home. So, time for the nighttime portion of their date. It's basically now a 2-on-1. We've got Jason mm-hmm. and Wills left. Becca going into the date, or going into the night, is still, allegedly, still torn between who she wants.
Mm-hmm.
So she first has her little one-on-one time with Jason, and he is feeling very confident, very excited to bring her home. Becca, so her thing with Jason, she was talking around a lot in circles, but her issue with him is he's the only one who hasn't said, I'm falling for you, or I fall for you, or like...
Oh, yeah.
Am I right? I don't think he said any of the things nope. yet. Mm-mm. So that's kind of, she was kind of dancing around that. So she said, you know, you've been slower to open up compared to the other guys. And he just keeps assuring her, like, but I feel stronger for you, whatever, whatever. And then she even said, quote, but, you know, some of the other guys have been more vocal with where they're mm-hmm. at. Which is code for, everyone has told me that they love me. What is going on? Like, and, yeah, so she's basically, like, fishing for this I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And because Wills has already said it, so Wills, or not I love you, but Wills said last week that he's falling for
her. He's falling
so
for
her, so she's really
yeah.
trying to get this from Jason now, mm-hmm. before, like, she needs to bring him up to equal playing field. But he wasn't picking up what she was putting down, and still ain't
no.
say shit.
No.
Say a word.
But what he did say mm-hmm. was that, he said, well, what I've prayed for the past whatever days, mm-hmm. yeah, he said prayed
okay.
for.
You saw mm-hmm. my eyebrows went up. I was like, "Ooh, he's mm-hmm. a man of the Lord."
mm-hmm. That you would like come meet my family, whatever, whatever. Talk. Mm-hmm. So,
okay,
I think that prayed for solidified him. I don't think there was anything Will could have said,
yeah,
that would have brought him back up to where Jason was.
Okay,
moment.
And Becca is a Christian woman. She believes mm-hmm. in the power of prayer, so that probably was yeah. the words that she,
yeah.
like the Jason version of words that she's like, all right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wills, during his one-on-one, he, you know, just lets her know he's been completely open and, you know, vulnerable with her and feeling very peaceful and happy and all this stuff. And then he starts to get very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Even. And he tells her, you know, you make me believe in love again and in a future, and I'm falling more in love with you every day. Just gushing
how?
With words. I do not know, Justine. I don't know. When these people on the show do this, like, I no matter how long I watch the show, I'm always, it's always in the forefront of my head. You have spent collectively how many
day
hours?
And
yeah, 45 hours maybe with this person. I just can't. I don't know. We've never been there, so maybe this is all.
Yeah,
it's just
maybe it
seems
is.
So over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he's falling more and more in love with her every day. He has no problem saying the words. He
mm-hmm.
clearly is the complete opposite of Jason, basically, the way they kind
yeah,
of like
right.
juxtapose these two guys. So it's time for the date rose. And, you know, the question is, who's Becca going to give it to? Is she going to give it to someone who is, like, clearly all in and has been very vocal
mm-hmm.
about it? Or someone who is, you know, saying he's all in, but she's not 100% sure where he stands because he hasn't said the words that she wants to hear or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, date rose goes to Jason. So mm. she's taking a risk. Or,
yeah.
I guess, taking a risk on the person who hasn't really said, you know, all the things yet. And so poor Wills is going home.
Wills has to go home.
Wills is going home. And she has to walk Wills out. And my mom texted me, like, I didn't even know my mom was still watching
no.
The Bachelor. She's like, Wills is gone. What is going on? I'm like, what? How many of you watch this? So yeah, sad moment. Another PO, the last POC bites the dust.
Mm-hmm.
And so she walks Wills out. She kind of explains, like, you know, she didn't really want to. She didn't mean to blindside him, because he's definitely feeling blindsided right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're just not 100% on the same page. You know, this is the hardest thing she's ever had to do. You're amazing. You'll find your person. Like, all these things that just
typical
make...
breakup.
That what?
Whatever. Typical breakup talk.
Typical breakup talk that doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse, almost.
Mm-hmm.
When you're being broken
mm-hmm.
up with, and they're like, you'll find your person, like... I thought you were my person, bitch.
Right.
Like, the fuck? You know, you're sending me home talking about you'll find a better future. I wanted this future, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we talk about that? So, poor Wills. He gets packed up in the SUV. And he said, you know, the hardest thing to her, hearing her say is, I know you'll find your person. Because he
mm-hmm.
really thought that she was the person.
Hmm.
And then they show the car, like, he asked the car to pull over, and he, like, got out the car to go, like, cry off camera, I guess.
And this was my escape to Wakanda moment.
What? Why?
Because I just wanted to wrap him up in a kente cloth and tell him it was going to be okay. Oh my God. To, like, rescue him and, like, take him... Not to, like, some lonely, terrible, barren hotel room, but just, like, take him somewhere nice where he can go eat some jollof rice and some goat or whatever. Like... Just be smothered in blackness.
Aw, that's cute. I just picture you, like, coming down from the sky, literally, like, draping kente cloth over him. A bowl of jollof rice. Oh, my God. Yeah, he needed some good old-fashioned... He needed a good black hug in that moment.
He did.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was pretty much the episode there.
Yep.
We did see the preview for next week, Hometowns, next week.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't even keep up. I have to rewatch it because I couldn't even keep up with all the stuff that was going on. And every parent looks just like the kid. So I knew immediately which went with kid. Like, oh my gosh.
So, yeah, Hometowns is next week. We see, it moved very fast, but we see a lot of concerned parents.
Yeah.
Every parent has reservations.
Mm-hmm.
We saw somebody's parent, or I don't know if it's someone's dad or uncle, somebody. Some man was talking to Becca and said, I don't want you to pick him.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't even have a prediction. Like, who is that about? What is that?
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
No, I couldn't tell you.
And then we see Tia. They brought her back.
Ugly. Tia's back.
And Becca M was there. Probably a whole nother, like, girls thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Tia pulling Becca to the side to talk, and it's gonna reveal something else. Like, what the fuck else does she have to say?
I don't know.
Is it about Colton? Oh my God. But why? She already put everything out there about Colton, allegedly.
No, probably not.
So she's gonna come with more. Why would she do that to Becca? Now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be mad at Colton if it is some more mess on him, but then I'm mad at you, Tia, because you had the chance to say everything. Why now, when I'm deep in love with this man, you gotta come with some more foolishness? Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So that makes me nervous. I'm not sure what that's gonna be about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my Get Me to Wakanda moment. I forgot. It came at the very end of the show, actually.
Oh, okay.
Credits are rolling. We get the little behind-the-scene footage. Mm-hmm. Action, the Bahamian conch diver.
Jesus.
Trying to teach Becca and Colton how to dance and do some body rolls. And, oh my God, my man Colton. These struggle rolls. Woo!
Yeah, they were a struggle.
Get me to Wakanda ASAP. Not...
Yeah.
No... rhythm was anywhere to be found on this boat.
No.
Becca did a little, she did a decent body roll.
Yeah, no, she can do a little something.
A little something, but, oh God, Colton, that was very hard to watch. Extremely hard. And that was it. That was the episode.
That's it,
guys. We will, of course, be back next week. Hometown, this is getting real. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good old episode next week.
But also, just an announcement for next week. We're going to be a day late.
Oh, yes, we will.
Natasha and I need a little retreat.
Mm-hmm.
We need some carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And we need some sun.
Yep, going on a little vacay.
We're going on a little vacation. So, we'll just be on Thursday next week.
Episode posted Thursday. Mm-hmm. But anyways, rate, review, subscribe, hit us up on Twitter. The handle's #2, BLK Girls, #1, Rose.
And email us if you have opposing political beliefs to your spouse, or if you know someone who has, or if your parents are, or if you just want to show us some love, we love it just as much.
Mm-hmm.
Email us at #2BlackGirls, #1Rose @gmail.com.
Yep. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.